Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray just for your presence, God, and for you, Holy Spirit, to touch our hearts and to speak to us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Have you guys met people, or can you think of people in your life where you, when you look at them, you know that they have such a tender and passionate heart for God? Not just the usual, like the usual people you see at church. They kind of have a passion for God. They kind of have a tender heart for God. But there isn't really, like, you don't notice anything special. But I'm talking about people that when you're with them, you're just kind of blown away. Or, like, the thing that strikes you most about these people is that, man, they're so thankful for what God has done in their lives. So, I don't know this person, but I'm imagining someone like John Newton. He's the writer of that song, Amazing Grace, right? And you know his story. We all know his story a little bit, that he used to be a slave trader. Right, he used to be very active in trading slaves. And when he was found by God, and he was so struck by the love of God and the grace of God in saving him, and out of that place of immense gratitude and just so moved by his grace, that he writes the song Amazing Grace. Right? And I imagine there's people like that in your life that you know. The thing that strikes you most about that person is, man, they are so thankful and so just tender in their heart because they know where they have come from. So my dad is one of those people. When I look at him, I always think, man, he has such a tender heart of gratitude for God. So when he became a Christian, over 32 years ago, or 34 years ago, and he had an encounter with God at a church retreat where he was kneeling. He wasn't even a Christian back then. He was a churchgoer, but he didn't really believe in Jesus. And then he was kneeling at the back of the retreat site, and the way he tells it is he had visions. God began to show him a vision of his life as a kid and as a little bit older, and he just kept showing him visions and visions of times in his life where he basically sinned, right? Basically did something wrong, and then so he would get a vision of this young little boy doing something bad, and the Lord would ask him, "Who is that boy?" And he would say, "Lord, that's me." And then he would say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And then he just began to weep and weep, and then vision after vision after vision, until at the very end, he was struck by the love and mercy of God. So he was just crying and crying because of the awareness of his own sinfulness, until at the very end, he was aware of the forgiveness of God and the grace of God. And I was just with him this past weekend in SP Beijing. He was sharing his testimony. And 34 years later, as he's sharing this testimony, he's choking up and crying. You know, I just think, wow, that's amazing. It's amazing that 34 years, he's still so tender-hearted and so in love with God and so thankful for his grace. And, you know, growing up, I grew up in the church, right? I grew up in the church. I was born into a Christian home. My parents are in ministry. My grandparents are in ministry. So I was always what you would call a good boy, right? I was always a good boy. I always went to church. I always did the right things. And I would ask myself, I would ask God, or I mean, I didn't like consciously ask him, but I had these thoughts. I would always think, oh, how come I never have this kind of an experience? You know, I've never really had that kind of an experience where I was kneeling and I was just so broken and so transformed on the inside. You know, Pastor Sam is like that. He talks about how he grew up thinking he was a pretty good person. And the pastor that would speak would say, you're all sinners. And Pastor Sam says he used to think, why? I didn't do anything bad. I didn't murder anyone. I mean, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything. So what's the big deal? Until I think at a mission trip, basically the Holy Spirit just came to him and he had this revelation of his own sinfulness, right? And that's why his favorite song to this day, we don't really know which song it is because we can't tell what he's singing. But the favorite song to this day is, I was lost and alone in the darkness, and you found me. And he just loves that song, right? And even when we went to Israel as a staff, we could see the tenderness in peace. And I know he's not the most tender-hearted. That's not how you would describe him, but in the presence of God, when he thinks about God's grace, he's tender-hearted and he's weeping. You know, many times in Israel, we experienced it with him. And you know, and I always think, oh, I don't have that experience. How come I don't know? Like, I can't look back at an experience like that where I was struck by my own sinfulness. And, you know, I think honestly in my heart, in my mind, my answer to that question was, oh, it's because I was never as bad as my dad. And I was never as bad as Pastor Sam. Maybe some of you feel that way, you know? I was never as bad as my dad was. He got drunk all the time. He's smoking all the time. He's doing a lot of bad things. And I used to have that heart. I used to have that thought, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is changing that heart. Not changing. I didn't consciously think about it until this weekend, but as I sat to kind of ponder upon it, I think maybe that's what was going on in my heart. I used to always just think, "Oh yeah, of course I don't have that kind of an experience because I've always been in church. I've always been a good boy." But I just don't think it's true. So I wanted to go to this passage because who is this man in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 that's saying, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. Paul is saying, at the time of his writing this letter, he's saying, I am the foremost of all sinners. Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, yes, Paul used to persecute Christians and he used to kill them. But by the time that he's writing this, it's 20 years after that time. He's been saved 20 years. He's been the world's greatest missionary. And he's still saying, you know what? Not that I was the foremost of all sinners, but I am the foremost of all sinners. If you look at Paul's writings, you can see that when early on in his writing, when he's writing the book of Galatians, probably his first letter, he kind of has this attitude of like, hey man, I'm just as much an apostle as these apostles like Peter and James, because he tells the story of how he had to take his gospel to these leaders because he wanted to make sure that what he was saying was legitimate. So he wanted to get their approval. So he goes to these esteemed leaders to say, hey, this is what I'm preaching. Is this okay? But when he's telling that story of what he did, he writes to the Galatians. He says something like, well, I went to these leaders, these esteemed leaders, parentheses, and he says, well, who these leaders are, they don't really matter to me, right? God doesn't really look at our status. But I had to take it to them because I wanted to okay my message. And then you know what he says? And he says, and they said, okay, they had nothing to add to my message. So he's kind of got this attitude of like, you know, I mean, who are these guys? And I'm just as much as an apostle. And then later on, a few years down the road in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he would say his heart has changed. His heart has humbled a little bit. And he says, you know what? I am the least of the apostles. And then later on in Ephesians, which is a later letter, it would say in chapter 3, you know what? I am the least of the saints. Meaning I'm not even least among the leaders. I'm least among all the Christians. And then 1 Timothy, which is one of his last books, you see, his heart has even humbled even more. And he has this growing awareness of his own sinfulness to the point where he says, I am the foremost of all sinners. Which, really, if you think about it, come on, Paul, you can't be. Right? If we're all sitting here today and we were to compare our lives to Paul's lives, I guarantee you, you're a worse sinner. Right? I'm a worse sinner than Paul is. And yet, he's able to say this. And so, what I'm saying is, it's not because I was a better person than my dad or Pastor Sam that I don't have this kind of an experience. I mean, I don't know. It's God's grace to them to have that kind of an experience. But maybe God's grace to me is to read passages like this and to have this understanding that's the wrong mindset, and then to go to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me and help me to have a growing awareness of my own sinfulness. A growing awareness of my own sinfulness. Because if we don't have that, you know, what kind of an attitude do we have? Like, oh, like, God, you're so lucky to have me as this, you know, this great person to serve you. You know, SP is so lucky to have me be their pastor. Pastor Salamat's like, no, you know, it's because he knows that that's the wrong mindset. But that's sometimes how we can, if we don't understand our own sinfulness, we just kind of, we're just not moved, you know, we're not moved by God's grace and God's mercy. And because it's Easter, right? Last weekend was Easter. But you know, why is Easter good news? It's only good news if we realize, man, we were helpless without him. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, Paul says, talking to the Ephesians, what state they were in before they believed in the gospel in Jesus. He says, you were dead in your transgressions, right? He says, you were dead in your transgressions. You are all under the power of Satan, and you were by nature deserving of wrath. But that's not just the Ephesians, that's us too. You know, you and me, even if you grew up in the church and you never really had a terrible, you know, what we would call typically terrible life, just as much as my dad was, or even the worst of sinners that you could think of, John Newton, who was trading slaves, just as much as them, we were dead in our transgressions. Maybe the transgressions were different, but we were dead in those things and destined for wrath. But Christ has mercy, or God had mercy, and he saved us. So this morning, I just wanted to bring this this point, you know. And it's not that I don't really have it either. But I just think I need to have a revelation of my own sinfulness, because that's what's going to change everything. You know, Pastor Sam, always says, to him, God, he is God's favorite, right? Like, to him, he basically is saying, God likes me the most, right? That's how he would say of himself, right? But he also says to every one of us, he says, and you should feel the same too. Like, to yourself, between you and the Lord, you should feel like you are his favorite child, that God loves me the most. And I think in the same fashion, to us, we should feel like I am the worst of sinners, right? Not that Paul was actually worse than you or me, but in his own heart before God, to him, he was the worst of sinners. And because of that, he was so thankful, right? You know, Paul's favorite way of describing himself was, I'm a bond servant of Jesus, which basically means I'm a slave of Jesus, because he understood that he owed Jesus everything, right? Because if it wasn't for Jesus, he would have been destroyed. He would have remained dead in his sins. And so he's always, I'm a bond servant of Christ. But how do we get to that place of calling ourselves bond servant of him is, I think, if we have this moment of realizing, man, I am the worst of sinners. I am right now the worst of sinners. But at the same time, I am God's favorite child, and he loves me, and he accepts me. And that leads us to saying, God, I owe you everything. And I am your bondservant. I have to, you know, everything I have, it comes from you. So Tim Keller, you know, one of my favorite Bible teachers and pastors from the States, that's his definition of the gospel. Please listen to this. He says, the gospel is this. We are, not we were, but we are right now more flawed and sinful than we ever dared believe. And it's true. It's true that we were, but also at this time right now, no matter how long you've been a Christian, it's true that we fail and we forget God and we get prideful and we disappoint him. You know, we disobey him. So right now we are more flawed and more sinful than we ever dare believe, or I would say than we ever dare admit to, right? We don't want to admit that we are sinners, right? We always want to find excuses and justify ourselves. But the truth is, God, you're right. I am a flawed and sinful sinner right now. But at the same time, the gospel is, at the same time we are sinful and flawed, we are more loved and accepted before God than we ever dared hope for, right? Than we can ever imagine or fathom or hope for. We are more loved and accepted by God. And when we get that understanding, Keller is saying that that will change us, right? Not only does it change us at one point to come to faith, but it will continue to change us, to sanctify us and to help us grow, if we can have that revelation all the time, because it's true. So I wanted to encourage us with that. And this Easter season, let's not forget why Christ had to come and die. It's because of our sins. And your sins, my sins, they're not better somehow than John Newton or my dad or Pastor Sam or anyone else that you can think of that has a tender heart toward God. Right? We are just as hopeless, just as dead in our sins. But Christ's love is enough. Right? So let's think about that, and Mon's going to lead us in a song. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for amazing grace. Thank you for your amazing grace. I pray that each person here and each person listening to the podcast, God, I pray that each of us would our heart truly grasp, you know, understand, comprehend, and see, you know, in our own way how amazing this grace has been, not just to the world, but to me, to personally, to me, how amazing this grace is and how amazing this grace has been. And I pray that we would, like Paul, we would have this understanding. I am the worst of sinners, and at the same time, I am most loved by God. And to be able to say, yeah, just that our heart, you know, that our heart would be transformed and tender towards you, Lord, that there would be a heart response to you, not just us trying to be a better Christian, but God, that it'll be a transformation of the heart out of gratitude. So come, Holy Spirit. We need you, God. Thank you. Let's go to our prayer focus for today. Let's pray for our community. Let's just pray for our friends who are going through cancer, going through chemotherapy. Let's just pray for God's mercy and grace. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are very ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for mercy. For the previous one, if you could change Virginia's to recovery. Virginia's mom, surgery's already been done. But for next, let's move on to the next one for now. Let's pray for infirmities with various church members going through different kinds of infirmities. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for speedy recovery. Let's pray for just the strength of God. Let's go to the last one. Let's just pray for our community that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and leading for them. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for our city, Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for against the wealth gap. Let's pray that something can be done here in this city. Let's pray for the churches and all these different ministries. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the anointing of God. Let's pray for provision. Let's also pray for those that are especially like going through a hard time. You know, part of our demographic as like the young people, the Hong Kong students that are, you know, just so much pressure and hopelessness that they end their lives. You know, let's pray against that. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for the domestic helpers and also families in distress and their children. Let's pray for peace in the families. Let's pray. Let's pray for our staff. Pray for, let's just pray for the team. Pray for, many of them will be traveling actually this week. So please pray for traveling mercies. Some work, some holidays. Let's just pray for a good time. And let's pray for unity amongst the staff. And just for us to be a very healthy staff and for us to work well together and to have a real good heart to work as best as we can for the church and for the Lord. So let's pray together. Let's pray for our hospitality team, our welcoming team and barista team. Pray for Pastor Andrew and Ash as they lead the ministries. Let's pray for a very good heart of hospitality and love that flows out of these teams. Let's pray for our worship and sound team and also AV team to have a very sincere heart of worship and also a pursuit for excellence, that we would do the very best that we can to serve God and to serve the church. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for your love and grace. And thank you for your word. Just pray for your presence to be with us today. God, help us to always remember your love, remember your grace, God, and for us to be able to truly surrender our day to you. We worship you, we love you, God, and help us to honor you throughout today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.